Welcome to the Analytics Advantage podcast, brought to you by Oracle Analytics Cloud. Analytics reinvented.
My name is Dan Smucker. Welcome to the Analytics Advantage podcast. In today's episode, we're discussing a variety of topics around analytics, including the impact analytics is having within Clorox Corporation. Before we introduce our guest, I want to introduce my co-host, Michael Singer, Director of Product Marketing for Oracle Analytics. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Dan. So today we have Ashish Joshi. Ashish is the Senior Director of Data, Analytics, and Data Science at the Clorox Company. He leads a team of data management experts, advanced analytics professionals, and data scientists spread across business divisions and centers of excellence. He's been with Clorox for 17 years, worked in advanced analytics, and prior to Clorox, he worked in advertising industry on new business development and account planning. He has an MBA from the Indian Institute of Management and an MS in Marketing Research from the University of Georgia. Thanks for joining us, Ashish.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. So, Ashish, I know you have, you know, analytics on your mind almost 24/7, but in your little bit of spare time, you do a little bit of running, I hear. Do you ever incorporate analytics somehow to gain an advantage when you're running a race or a marathon or anything like that?
Not formally, but I do, and I think about it, I usually put my headphones on, and there's usually music playing, so I would plan out my entire track sequence based on how fast and how quickly I want to run, and usually I would start a little slower, and then, you know, just in terms of the rhythm and the beats, things would start getting faster and faster towards the end because that's when I run the fastest. So, yes, in a way, I do.
Wow, that is very interesting.
That's great. Yeah. So Clorox is a household name, but let's have our audience understand a little bit about the ecosystem a bit and the manufacturing and the products and the retails portion of it. Help us understand that.
Sure. Clorox is a consumer packaged goods company. So we are selling primarily through our retailers, which obviously means that we have to manage like the whole supply chain from factories to the stores. And obviously we have our factories which are producing all the different products we have. And they are getting into our distribution centers from the factories, going into retailers' distribution centers, and then again going into the stores where the consumers have them for purchase available to them. We are also selling a little bit through e-commerce. So obviously, at some point we had to make the call on whether we wanted to sell through our own e-commerce sites or we wanted to sell through the retailers like Amazon and Walmart. And we make the decision to lean in on the e-tailers. So we are also providing products to the consumers through those avenues as well.
Great. What are some of the key challenges you face frequently at Clorox? You know, what keeps you up at night, Ashish?
There are, obviously several things. And I think part of it is the retail landscape's changing tremendously. And a lot of it is driven by how the consumers are interacting with our products with the rise of e-commerce, and that's starting to put tremendous amount of pressure on the retailers, and they are responding by selling more and more retailer brands or private labels, as we like to call them. So that ends up putting a lot of pressure on branded manufacturers like us who are selling these national brands, and we have to go back to the consumers to communicate our value proposition, which is really strong in most of the cases, and try to make sure that we keep the gap in terms of the overall value front and center as we are developing our products and creating our advertising. So I would say that probably is one of the bigger things we have. Then obviously, increasingly, I think we are in the business of generating insights. The more insights we generate about our consumers and our businesses, the stronger we are going to be. And everyone, whether it's a retailer or our competitive manufacturers, they are essentially in a battle for the same kind of insights. And whoever gets smarter and faster in terms of generating those insights is going to ultimately win. So that's where analytics also comes in terms of making the companies more competitive.
Have you seen those insights give you some clear vision on who the best customers are within the within that brand?
That's an interesting question because, I mean, a lot of the consumer lifetime value kind of work that happens through analytics is predicated on having good transactional data, which is available to us. Now, what happens with CPG supply chain overall to the consumer is we are selling through the retailers. So we don't necessarily have all the transactional data. But what we are doing in terms of understanding our consumers is using our loyalty programs wherever we have them, I mean, because we can actually get information about how the consumers are interacting with our products. In some cases, I mean, Clorox is a large company, so in some cases we also have direct-to-consumer. I mean, I don't know if you knew Nutranext, for example, or Renew Life. I mean, those are Clorox brands. So we do have some direct-to-consumer information which we can use to do lifetime value work and therefore figure out, like, who the high-value consumers are. And then we are obviously leaning on some of our third-party vendor partners who can provide us with consumer attributes around who the high-value consumers are so that we can design our products, our offers, and our communication activities towards them.
Perfect. So talk a little bit more about how you're using analytics in this respect. Do you work with retailers in uncovering patterns to your product sales and or promotions? And how does that relationship work with your retailer peers?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we have a sales analytics function, which is primarily focused on looking at all the trade dollars that we are investing with our retailers in terms of trade promotions. So they are working very closely with our sales teams and our retailers to try and figure out how these trade promotions are working for us and therefore optimizing them. We also have what we call a category advisory services team. So this category advisory services team is more responsible for generating insights about the overall categories, not just our products. And they are supposed to be the consultants to the retailers. And they work really closely with them. With retailers, I mean, usually it's one of those relationships where, I mean, part of the things that we are working on are our goals are similar, and some of the things, our goals are a little dissimilar in the sense that they are competing with us.
You know, how sensitive is pricing in your industry, and how has analytics played a role in, you know, optimizing that pricing? And I guess that really moves on as well. It's a kind of a two-part question. How has it also helped to optimize your marketing spend?
Yeah, so pricing is like one of the fundamentals. I mean, if I go back and talk about, I mean, pull back one step and say, what is analytics focused on? Pricing is one of the big areas of focus for us. Marketing optimization is another area of focus. I mean, both of these are places where a ton of value can be generated for the company. We are also looking at forecasting activities and marketing personalization. But pricing, for sure, is a pretty big part of the overall value proposition of analytics for CPG companies. So we do a ton of work in that space. Some of the pricing work that we do is more tactical in nature, where we understand that we have to take pricing, whether it's about commodity prices going up or it's about, I mean, certain things we want to accomplish in the overall P&L. But then we are also involved with strategic pricing, which is where we are looking at our three-year plans, we are looking at our products, we are looking at our competitive positions, we are looking at the categories in general. And then we are making recommendations on what kind of activities can we actually put in place as far as pricing goes. And there are so many different levers that we can pull on pricing that we just need to make sure we are doing the right thing. And analytics obviously plays a huge role in driving decisions on any of those activities. Now, marketing optimization or marketing effectiveness in general, it's another huge practice area for us. And we do a lot of work which is around effectively optimizing the marketing spending. And it can take, I mean, different ways, shapes, and forms because, I mean, as you can imagine, Clorox is a huge portfolio of businesses. So one of the ways in which you can generate value from marketing optimization is by trying to figure out how much money to spend where in terms of the overall portfolio. Then, I mean, you can start looking into different channels that a brand is spending money on, like how much am I spending on things like streaming videos and online videos versus how much should I be spending on banners or television advertising and such. And there's a lot of insights that we are generating on campaigns. I mean, any given brands putting out multiple campaigns in the market. Some of them succeed, some of them don't. So we provide information in terms of optimizing the right mix of those campaigns as well. So there are many ways in which we are helping there, like both in terms of the decisions that are getting made and also in terms of the toolkit that we're using to help.
Does that also help with marketing personalization?
We do have a lot of data about our consumers, which can then feed into creating what I would call the consumer clusters. Like, we're not getting to a point where we are personalizing to a person, but we are personalizing to groups of consumers, and these groups of consumers are actually much more in number than what a traditional CPG marketing would deal with. I mean, if you think about it, we have done segmentation for so many different years, but usually you would end up with like five or six different consumer segments. But with the amount of data that's available now, I mean, we are using analytics to identify a lot of these, what we call the audience activation clusters. And then we can go back and try and figure out what are the right products to serve to them, what kind of promises or value propositions can be put in front of them behind those products, what kind of offers we can give to them. Analytics is playing a role both on the start of this whole chain where we are trying to identify the consumers and their characteristics and their preferences. And then on the other end, where we are trying to look at all the different offers and communication and even like product offerings that we can put in front of them in trying to figure out like what's the right combination of the different attributes that will work for one consumer versus the other.
So this notion of consumer clusters is really fascinating. I want to hear a little bit more about that. Talk about how that impacts the consumer trends, trend spotting in the industry, and how important is that at Clorox, and how do you see the increasing demand for that type of analytics to be applied to these clusters?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a fascinating area. I would say, I mean, although the concept has existed for a very long time, it's the amount of data and the kind of data that's available to do this kind of work that's changing dramatically. So a lot of the work I have a data science team. So in the last, 3 years, a lot of the work that they've done has been focused on identifying what attributes of the consumers really matter when we are at marketing to them. Because if I go into any of these pools where I'm looking at a consumer and the number of attributes that are available, like I might run into 10,000 of them. And it's like, not all of them are important. I need to go in and identify the ones that are really important. So that process in of itself, I mean, it takes some time and it takes some doing, some creativity. But once you have zeroed in on that, then the question really would be, I mean, is that information useful in terms of driving business results? And we end up then doing a bunch of test and learn kind of activities where you would go serve a certain piece of communication to a consumer cluster and then go back and see if that had an impact in the market in terms of generating a lift on the sales. So, I mean, obviously a lot of activities happening in that space. I would say it's still evolving and we are getting to a point where we are getting way smarter about the attributes that really matter versus those which don't really matter. I mean, they are available, but for our businesses, they may not be that relevant. Now, trend spotting is sort of related to that, and there's some really interesting work which is happening in this space. But a lot of it, again, goes back to how quickly or how dynamically the preferences in a category are shifting. So I would go back and say, you know what, like, I mean, when I look at some of our cleaning categories, obviously, I mean, there are things which are always changing. But when I compare that to what's happening in some of the other categories like skincare or cosmetics, I mean, the amount of shift that's happening in terms of preferences is just huge. So the trend spotting bit, I mean, is very applicable for, I would say, like almost all categories, but some of them are much more, I mean, some of them can benefit much more from that. And that's where I think some of the work's happening for us.
Interesting. So with all this great analytics and identifying trends, identifying these clusters, how has the strategic direction been for you as it relates to marketing campaigns and are executives taking notice? Are they actually, you know, utilizing your analytics, looking at your insights and making decisions based on that?
So one thing I would say from the get-go, I mean, marketing personalization is a pretty big key imperative for the marketing organization at Clorox. And it's been presented to and it's been sold in to our executives in a big way. So Clorox is, I mean, it's not just me who's talking about personalization. I think in general, marketing's talking about and the company's talking about it. The board's aware of it. It's a pretty big imperative for us in terms of our overall strategy going forward. So that gives you a leg up in terms of the analytics, which is feeding into this work, being taken seriously. And at the same time, we are investing a lot of money and resources in doing this work. And that's for sure helpful. If I talk about like analytics in general, we do have a fairly advantageous vantage point for Clorox because we've been doing this for a few years now. Like I've been around for 17 years, so we've been doing it for some years. And in that time, I think we've created an audience of fairly sophisticated consumers of analytics at Clorox, and that helps because the kind of questions that you get, the kind of activation that you get on analytics is great.
Are you seeing an increase in either ad hoc analytics or analytics requests from executives and directors within the company?
It's an interesting question because, I mean, it's not as if there's a dramatic increase. The volume of requests for analytics has been rising over time. And we've been trying to meet those demands as our organization would permit. I would say there's a lot of curiosity when, like, earlier the requests would be coming from, I have a problem I need to solve, and what can you do for me to solve that problem? We are seeing a little bit more of, hey, what can you do to help me figure out things that I don't necessarily understand or know right now? Like just in terms of identifying opportunities or looking at white spaces, that's a little bit of a shift.
Well, thank you, Ashish. Listen, here at the Analytics Advantage podcast, we like to end the show with a little game called the Fast Forward Prediction Game, where I state a prediction and you tell me green light, agree, or red light, disagree. Sound like fun?
That sounds like a lot of
okay.
fun.
Okay. All right. 5 years from now, most companies will be so adept at pricing optimization that there will be no need for analytics pricing.
I don't think so. Red light.
All right. Question two then. 5 years from now, enterprise executives will rely more on analytics than their gut to make important decisions. What do you think?
Green. I mean, I think this is the direction we are headed. I mean, it'll always be a combination, but for sure, I mean, more analytics and less gut.
Yeah, definitely. 5 years from now, analytics embedded with machine learning will be used by about 75% of enterprises.
I'd say yellow. I mean, I think it'll be more.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it'll be 3/4, probably somewhere between 1/4 to 50%.
Okay, I'll take that.
So, and last question, since you live in the Bay Area, 5 years from now, the San Francisco 49ers will have won a Super Bowl. What do you think?
As a fan, yes.
Oh,
for
good.
Sure. I think they'll win one.
And yeah, will you be the one who provides them with the analytics to win that Super Bowl?
If I were doing that, then I would say red.
All right.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, we've been speaking with Ashish Joshi, Senior Director of Data Analytics and Data Science at Clorox Corporation. Thank you so much, Ashish, for being a guest on our show.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
And for more information, please reach out to us at oracle.com/analytics.